Well, could you put your hands together? I know it's hard when you're giving two, but I just think this guy is awesome. We joke around a lot, but I think he is a gift to this church. Pastor Wes is coming to preach, but could you give him a little encouragement this morning?
You know what? I'm thinking you can do more than just put 10 on there. You could put 10000000 on there as well if you really wanted to. I just did it, actually. It's very easy. I just gave $20 to the youth. You're welcome, teens. And so it's not that difficult to do. Well, welcome here this morning. It's good to see you. I'm always excited to see what God wants to do in our lives. And you know, I think it's great because when we were talking a little bit about money, and Pastor Les, you're going to be talking about that tonight, I was just thinking, you know, it's amazing what people spend their money on. Isn't that true? When you think about what people spend their money on, it is overwhelming. I found out, I did some research on the internet, there was a British man that decided he was tired of his imaginary pal. His name was John, the imaginary pal was name was John Meldeman or whatever. So he decided to sell him. This is real stuff, guys. He decided to sell his imaginary friend on eBay. So he had 31 bids, and he finally sold his imaginary friend for $3,000. Amazing, eh? I heard about a guy in Japan that was very concerned about all the earthquakes. And he was concerned because of the nuclear reactors that were damaged and so forth. So he decided to buy salt. He heard someplace that buying having salt will help you against nuclear reaction and so forth and nuclear poisoning. And so what he did is he bought $4,100 worth of salt. That's about 15,000 pounds. Now, just to make it clear, salt is not going to help you if there is an atomic bomb. I mean, it'll preserve you, okay, but it won't help you. It's crazy what people pay money for. We were just talking about phones. The iPhone, the newest iPhone, $1,000 for this crazy thing. I mean, I can't believe what people spend money on. But then let's talk about health. What do people spend on health? Everybody's looking for an easy way to get healthy, right? So if we could take a pill or if we could take something, well, that's what we'll do. So somebody decided they're going to make a suit. So they developed a sauna suit. So you put this thing on. No, it's not garbage bags. You put this thing on, you zip it up, and you sweat all day long. And they say you can sweat off a couple of pounds. I'm thinking if you have enough salt ahead of time, it'll be even better. But that's another story. There's another thing that somebody has developed, and it's called a vibration belt. You put it on and it vibrates your flab, okay? Yeah, your muscle, that's right. You remember the vibrating chairs? Have you ever seen those ones where you sit and you just... Listen, it's not going to do anything for your flab. It's just going to make it bounce. That's all I'm going to say, right? But somebody decided to make this thing. So they've gone through all these different ways. And so what they thought is, okay, the belt doesn't work. The suit doesn't work. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make some utensils. So they made some utensils that are weighted. They weigh about 1.5 pounds each. So you gotta really work at getting that food in the mouth, right? This is real stuff. People are paying money for this kind of stuff. I found it very, very interesting. I'm wondering if I were to tell you today that I can give you five things that are guaranteed to revolutionize your life. Guaranteed to revolutionize your life. Not your wife, your life. I'm wondering what we would pay for that kind of stuff. And we're going through a series right now on basics in our faith. And this is not, listen, this is not rocket science here this morning. This is pretty simple stuff. But I think it's stuff that we need to revisit here this morning. And by the way, you don't have to pay for it. It's free. Hallelujah. But five things God's given us that will absolutely change our life. So God, I pray this morning as we look into your word, I pray, Father, that you would speak to us clearly. You would help us to understand the importance of not just being hearers, but I'm implementing your word here this morning so that, Father, we could be stronger in our faith, stronger in our relationship with you, and more equipped to do the work that you've called us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Five things that will absolutely change your life. And the first one is, and again, like I said, it's not rocket science. The first one is the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. I love what F.B. Myers once said. He says, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Isn't that good? The greatest tragedy of life is not that God's not answering our prayers, but we're not even praying it through. Folks, we as Christians know the importance it is to be praying people. We know what it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Devote, the word devote means to continually, steadfastly be persistent in your prayers. Now, I can be a little bit lazy at times. I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes I forget my keys in the house, or I can't find my keys, I'm carrying stuff. So I'll go to our back door and I'll start knocking. I know there's somebody in the house, and I figure if I knock long enough, they'll finally come. So then I do one of these, and sure enough, somebody shows up freaking out, where's your keys and all that stuff. But you know, I find that when I'm persistent, they actually answer. It's like the widow in the New Testament, isn't it? The persistent widow. See, God is telling us, folks, we need to be persistent. Continue on in our prayer. Not just a quick prayer offered up to God, and that's good. Thank you, Lord, and away we go. Why didn't you answer me? Well, God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Are you following through? Are you being disciplined in the way you are praying? I think a lot of people, maybe I shouldn't say a lot of people, but there are people out there that their relationship with God has gotten dull. Their relationship with the church has become not as energetic as it once was. By the way, if we weren't energized by this morning, then there's a problem with the worship. Thank you so much, Sonia, for leading us there and team. But some people, their faith has become so... it's become so weak. And I wonder in times like that what their prayer life is like. I'm wondering if they are actually taking time in the presence of God on a daily basis and saying, God, I need to hear from you. And not just a quick, thank you, Jesus, for this food prayer, but a prayer that is consistent and that does not give up. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. We all know who he was, a great preacher in the Victorian era. He says this, if the spirit of prayer is not with the people, the minister may preach like an angel. I think it says angle. Should say angel, okay? Maybe he's got the right angle, but cannot expect success. Man, it doesn't matter who stands up here. If God is near a church, it must pray. If he is not, one of the obvious signs of his absence will be lethargy in prayer. If God's not there, I'm wondering where our prayer is. I'm wondering where. And see, here's the thing, folks. I honestly believe that room back there in the corner on Sunday morning should be the happening place on a Sunday morning, even prior to this. I think we should have standing room only. And by the way, we have some good times in there, in that prayer room. You got to show up. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, it is well worth it. So let me ask you, what's your prayer life like? Where are you at with the Lord? I think there are people that are kind of going through life and through their Christian walk. You know, it's kind of like, and we're barely surviving. And I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, wake up! What it says. You knew that was coming. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's be awake in our spiritual walk, folks, and our time with the Lord. Second discipline that will change your life. It's not rocket science, but here it is. The discipline of the word. The discipline of the word. How many of you have ever been on a diet? A few of you, the rest of you are lying. We've all been on some sort of diet. Okay, you know what I hate about diets? I hate the fact that all the good food tastes, like all the bad food tastes so good. And all the food that's healthy for us is just so bad, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? Like seriously, why can't they make broccoli to taste like potato chips? Come on. Right? Or why can't they make a drink that's healthy for you taste like chocolate milk? You know what I'm talking about? But it seems, and you know, the good food, the bad food is so easy to come by, isn't it? You find it everywhere. And the good food, you got to pay more money for it. And it's not always the easiest things to find on the shelf. See, isn't that like the spiritual walk as well? That which is good for us, you got to work at. You got to look for it. You got to take time to really examine. And that's in here, folks. It's in the Word of God. You all know what it says in Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, I hide this in my heart. See, here's the thing. If you are hiding God's word in your heart, you got to be taking time in there. You got to be examining it. You've got to be taking of it and eating of it and enjoying the power and the presence of his word. You know, I think we do a disservice to our younger generation when we tell them, you've got to memorize verses in Sunday school, and we give them little stamps, and then finally we give them a chocolate bar, whatever we give. We bribe them to memorize the verse. I think that's okay. Bribe away, as long as they memorize the word, right? But then we stop, huh? Right? We graduated. I remember when I finished, when I went into youth, when I was a kid, that's 150 years ago, when I was a kid, and I went into youth, and I thought, wow, I don't have to memorize the word anymore. And I thought, and you know, later on, I thought, how dumb was that? I think we do a disservice if we're not memorizing this here, folks. Because if you're not hiding it in here, when you face the challenges, what are you going to do? What are you going to do without your sword, without knowing how to combat those times that come against us? So folks, can I encourage you, get into the word. You got to discipline yourself, but it will, I promise you, it will change your life as you continue to dig deeper in it. And by the way, we can help you to dig deeper in it. If you're not involved, Pastor Les, I'm doing this for you. If you're not involved in a Lift community, you got to be in one, because that's where we dig, and we dig, and we have a good time. We have our, if you don't have a Lift community, you don't know where to go, you can come to ours, okay? Because ours is one of the best in the church. Right, Isaac, where are you? Yeah. Everybody else is throwing eggs at me. But get into the word. So discipline is of the word. Thirdly, the discipline of life. The discipline. See, it's important to know how to pray and know about the word of God and all that stuff. But see, if you don't put it into practice, there's a problem, isn't there? See, because the truth is, the devil knows how to talk to God. Okay? We find in scripture him talking to God. So he knows how to talk to God. The devil probably knows this book better than a lot of Christians. Right? He knows what's written in here. He knows how to quote it. He certainly quoted it to Jesus himself. But we as believers have to put it into practice. We have to go a step further. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 tells us this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Let me ask you this. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your spare time? What are you doing with your life that will bring honor to God? I have a friend. I actually have a friend. Isn't that great? And this friend's dad, he gets up in the morning, and what he does is he gets up and he sits on the couch in his living room, and then he turns on the television set. And from the morning hour, I kid you not, from the morning when he wakes up till he goes to bed, he sits there and watches TV all day long. 16 hours a day He's sitting in front of the TV set, watching Heartland. Like, what is the matter with the guy? Over and over and over and over again, sitting there. His wife gives him something to eat. He eats, puts it on pause, uses the washroom, comes back, sits there. Lunchtime, eats, puts it on pause, goes, uses the washroom, comes back. Dinner time, eats. You know, this is his life. Now, we say that's obviously a huge waste of time, but I'm wondering if there are places in our life where God wants us to use our time in a better way, in a way that honors him. Make the best use of your time. Ephesians 5 verse 16 says in the American Standard Version, because the days are evil. Hey, let me ask you this, and going along with what Pastor Les will preach about tonight, how are you using that other commodity that God has given you? How are you using your money? You should thank us, okay, here as a church, that we give you the text to give. Hallelujah. We will show you how to use your money for God's glory. But honestly, how do we use our money? It's interesting. I read this on just recently. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer. 500 on prayer. Fewer than 500 verses on faith, and more than, get this, more than 2,000 verses on money. Actually, 15% of Jesus' ministry was about talking about money. Did you know that Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell combined? So obviously there's a big deal about talking about money. Jesus knew the importance of it. Having that in mind, jump to Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 13. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 13. You know this. Jesus says here, whomever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you're not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And now we know this verse very well. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and your wife. I mean, God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. See, here's the thing, folks. Why did Jesus make such a big deal about money? Because he knew that money can ultimately lead to a lot of evil, doesn't it? Right? A tremendous amount of evil. And he's saying here, look, if I can't trust you with a few dollars, how am I going to trust you with heavenly riches? So we've got to put our money into a proper perspective and use it in a way that honors God. How are you doing with that? It's interesting. Someone said that money can be described with four T's. It's, first of all, it is a trust. It's something God has entrusted into your care. By the way, you see those bills on the right-hand side, those brown bills? Those are $100 bills. I don't see them very often. But let's just take a look at it for a second. Aren't those great? But anyway, back to this. It's a trusting. Secondly, money is a tool. He expects that we use it to further his kingdom on earth. It's not about making us, just us feel more comfortable. The God does bless us for that purpose. But if it's all about us, there's a problem. And you're never going to be comfortable enough, because someone else always got more. And you will want more. It's a test. God often gives us something of lesser value. And we talked about this from this other scripture, to see if we can be trusted with something of greater value. Can I trust you with a couple of $100 and to use it effectively, or are you going to blow it on the wrong areas? And if I can trust you for a couple of $100, maybe I can trust you in taking care of something greater, is what God says to us. It is a thermometer. Isn't this true? How we spend our money reveals the truth about our spiritual lives. Isn't that right? See, if we are willing, and if we really do love people and care about their needs, we will invest in people. That's going to cost you money. Okay? But see, here's the thing. If our lives are cold, you're going to spend on yourself. It's just the way it is. That's not bad to just spend, it's not bad to spend on ourselves, but if we're only focused on ourselves, there's a real problem there. So where are you at in your life? Now, I could say so much more. I only covered two areas here when it comes to our life, our time and our finances. But I think they're a good indicator of where we are in our life with the Lord, aren't they? So if you want to have a life that is alive, folks, let me ask you, how is the discipline, this discipline in your life? Fourthly, how is your discipline of worship? See, God has called us as people to be people of worship. It's not just what you did here on Sunday morning. Though again, it was wonderful to worship God, and it's great that we gather here together on a Sunday to worship God. Wonderful. But it's got to be more than just this. Because if this is it, there's a real problem with our life. It's got to be a lifestyle that we are living on a daily basis. I love the picture in Revelation chapter 4. I think it is an absolutely gorgeous picture of what true worship is all about. You know it well. I got the verses up there. It says here in verse 4, surrounding the throne, this is God's throne. First of all, let me just take us there for a second. Man, I wish we could see a glimpse of this. To truly see the glory of God, so incredibly glorious that the only way John could describe this is by looking at the most precious gems possible and talking about it like an emerald that was surrounding the throne, and there was a rainbow behind it. It was beyond imagination. So here is God sitting on his throne. All around him, there are other thrones, and it says there are 24 thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. And see, when you look at this portion here, folks, you can see a few things that got to be a reality when it comes to worship in our lives. First of all, when it comes to worship, it involves purity. It involves purity. They were dressed in white. See, here's the thing. Every one of us sins, okay? If you don't sin, you're lying. You just sinned, okay? We all sin. Now, this week, I was at a funeral, and we were walking away from the graveside. It was a beautiful day. And, the afternoon was beautiful anyways. And I was walking with some beautiful people, and we were celebrating the life of Helmer, and we were walking away. And I was walking across the grass because I was too lazy to walk around on the path, too far to walk. I walked right across the grass. So I did, and the grass was wet. You know where this is going, right? And after a while, you're like, right? You know what I'm talking about? And your feet are covered in mud. Now, I'm walking with the right people. I'm doing the right things. I'm honoring somebody's life. But just by being in that setting, I'm getting my feet dirty. Here's my point. You can be doing all the right things, but just by living on this planet, you're going to get your feet dirty. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see things that are going to affect your mind. You're going to hear things that are going to get you to question your faith. There's always things that we are being bombarded with. And every one of us sins, because every once in a while we agree to this stuff and we believe it. We need to be pure. We need to ask God on a regular basis, Father, in order for me to be a person of worship, I pray, make me pure, make me pure, make me pure. Secondly, worship involves humility. I love this picture. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lived forever and ever. Now, we're not 100% sure who these elders are. Okay, some say they're angels. I believe that they are people that were highly exalted, that people that were leaders and people that God honored. But here's the thing: whoever they were, they're sitting on these thrones, okay, in an exalted place. Everybody looked up to these guys, great guys, powerful guys. They loved God and they were faithful and all that stuff. Dignitaries sitting there. And whenever they heard whenever they saw the angels worshiping the Lord, what do? They fell down before the Lord in humble worship. I'm thinking they were on their knees a lot because it says day and night they never stopped singing holy, holy, holy. My imagination is this. So they're singing holy, 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 Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Down they went. Okay, let's sit back down again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Down they went. Up they went. I mean, they must have been worshiping on an ongoing basis. But see, that's the point, isn't it? The point is that we are humble before the Lord, and we are worshiping him with true humility. How does that look for us? Well, Pastor Les said, in 2 weeks, we have International Sunday. I've said this before, but let me just bring it up again. Humility means that we look at others for ourselves, doesn't it? Right? Isn't that true? And I love potlucks. I think they're God's answer to good fellowship within the church. We need lots of them. Lots and lots of potlucks. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love the food. Bring lots of food. But what happens is that we get our plates, and then we start piling on, and we're piling. And you've seen it, right? You've never done this. Okay, none of you. But you pile it, and you've got a pile of food. It's about 3.5 meters high, maybe not quite. And you're carrying it, knowing that you're never going to eat it all, but you bring it to your plate, and there's a guy standing in the back of the line. I'm going, wow, there's a couple chicken bones there that I can get on or something, right? Humility is thinking about the people behind us. You know what I'm saying? It's thinking about, and I'm using that as an example, but in everything we do. So worship involves humility. It involves surrender. It says they laid their crowns before the throne. This was the rewards that they got. They didn't hang on to them tight, but they were willing to lay them. Worship involves us, folks, not being stingy with our time, not being stingy with our money or with our praise, but to offer it up to God. Lavishly offering it up to God. God, thank you. That's worship. That's worship, not holding tight. Worship, of course, involves praise. And here in verse 11, it says, they sang, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will were they created and have their being." They continuously praised and honored and worshiped God. How are you doing with this discipline? Only you and God knows, really, because we can come here at church and we can be raising our hands and worshiping God, and I hope we're doing that. But we could be doing that and thinking about the chicken that's roasting on the oven right now or whatever. But are we focusing on God and not just here? How about, are you worshiping God, oh Lord? Are you worshiping God when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Like, what's their attitude like? I've got a ways to go in some areas as well. We all need to work on it. But folks, the discipline of worship, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. How are you doing with it? Lastly, the discipline of discipleship. Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19, you know this well, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't tell us to go and make converts, though that's insinuated in this, but he says, go and make disciples. See, making a convert isn't always that difficult. Okay? Let me give you an example. A few years ago, and you've heard this, and some of you participated in this. A few years ago, we had a group that came to the church and went out into the streets. They did a little seminar and went out into the streets to tell people about Jesus. You remember that? For those that were here, I went with them. And so they were going to get people to give their hearts to Jesus. So they would go up to, I kid you not, I was with them, I saw this. They walked up to someone and said, "You need the Lord in your life. You need to turn around and give your heart to Jesus. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I give my heart to you. I give my heart to you. I invite you into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. I invite you into my life. Forgive my sins." Okay, great. All right, you're a Christian. Woo! Let's go. All right, you need Jesus. You're a sinner, and you got to turn. And I watched him do this for the whole afternoon. except for those that were like, you are crazy, and walked away. But some of them, they responded. And when we got to the church, they said, how many people came to know the Lord that afternoon? They said about 32 people came to know the Lord. And I thought, and I didn't say it, but I thought, man, you talked to 32 people and you harassed them. But I didn't see any, I didn't see any changes there. See, God is not calling us just to give the message. He's calling us to something way deeper than that. Way, way deeper. He's calling you to invest, to take time with someone, to share not just a message, which is the most important message in the world, the message of Jesus, but to share your life with them as well. He's calling you to be a mentor. Are you hearing me? He's calling you to mentor people, people new in their faith, people that haven't even accepted the Lord yet. They're tough ones to mentor, to walk through. I've got a few of them in my life that are I'm working with that. It's a little bit of a challenge, but to walk with them and to answer their questions and to be with them during the difficult times. I've said this before, but when we had our young adult meeting a while back with our board, one of the things that they said is we desperately need a mentor in our life. We need people to mentor us, to help us through. They need you. They need you. I guess that goes back to what are we doing with our time, doesn't it? Right? So, folks, can I encourage you to invest in people? I love what Romans, this doesn't take away from sharing the message. Romans 10:14, you know this. Paul says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone talking to them? They need to hear it from us. They need for us to invest in their lives. So let me ask you in closing here. See, God wants your life to be revolutionized. He really does. He wants your life to be just very encouraged and very filled with his presence. So let me ask you, how is your prayer? How is your time with the Lord in reading his word? How is your investment of your time? How is your investment of your money? How is your worship life going? Are you making it a point to look for people to mentor in your life and making it a point to be disciples? Because see, here's the thing. That's not just up to Pastor Les or myself or any other leader. It's up to you, every one of us. I'm going to ask Sonia and the team to come up here. And in closing here today, we're going to take some time in prayer. And maybe there are areas in your life that you personally need prayer for. And you just, God, I need your help. Maybe some of these things that we talked about are something that you would like somebody to pray with you about. Or maybe there are people in your life, whatever it is. If you need prayer, the prayer team is going to come up as we go to prayer. But why don't we stand together? God, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we would be wise how we live this life. We don't know what we have left, how many days, months, years. We have no clue. But God, help us to live in such a way that honors you every moment, every hour, every day. God, if there are people here today that haven't been living in the way they should. Maybe doing things that dishonor you. Maybe they have not committed their life to you completely. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon your people right now. And with heads bowed right now, folks, and eyes closed, believers, please pray with me here. If you are here this morning and you say, man, there are areas in my life that aren't right. First of all, maybe you've never made that commitment to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus, to give your life to Jesus. This is the day. This is the day. And I just want to pray for you that God will help you to live in a way that honors you. So if you're here this morning and you say, God, I need you in my life, I'm I haven't received you. I want you in my life. I want to pray for you here right now. If that's you, I want you to put up your hand, and I'm just going to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise. I just want to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Can I encourage those that put up their hands? I do have a package here that I want you to have. It has some information, it has some books in there, and we want to work with you. Secondly, I encourage you to be involved in a small group so you can grow in your faith. But I want to pray with you. And I'm going to pray a prayer again. I've said this before. It's nothing fancy about the words, but it's about your heart in the words. So if you have raised your hand, silently pray this prayer to the Lord. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your incredible love. I thank you that you came to this planet, that you lived a life that honors God, that you died on the cross, that you rose again so that I could also live a life that honors God. So I pray, forgive me for those areas in my life where I've sinned against you, I've sinned against God, I've done things my way and not your way. Cleanse me from those areas. Help me to live in a way that honors you and to follow you faithfully all the days of my life. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, praise God. I think that's awesome. If you are here this morning and there are areas in your life you just need prayer, other areas, the prayer team is here. Why don't you come up right now? Let them pray with you as we continue to worship the Lord.